Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Don't miss a minute of ruined dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think.
Oh, beautiful. It's already Thursday, Roo. How are you?
Very well, Dits. Very well.
My favourite day of the week.
Yeah. Why? Because
tomorrow's Friday.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you got on this week? What are you looking forward to?
Trots tomorrow night.
Yeah,
Wavell
the
Showgrounds.
The Red Hots.
Yeah. Magnificent. Used to go as a kid.
Where to Wavell?
Yeah. Mum and Dad pack us into the car. We went all the time to Friday night at Wavell. I loved it.
I reckon it'll be a huge crowd there tomorrow night.
I hope so.
Yeah. I hope they make it permanent there. I've been on about this for years. I reckon it's crazy leaving it out at Globe Derby.
Yeah, personally. Well, wait and see what happens. Maybe they're doing it deliberately to see, you know,
trial run.
How successful it is.
Well,
hey, Roo, breaking news this morning, the rotation policy here at Triple M, we're training up a newbie. We got, we've had Mel the button pusher.
Yeah, I know.
How long, three years or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, as you know, she's in foal, so she's she's here looking over the shoulder there. We've trained up, and so we had Mel the button pusher. We need to find a new name. So Alana, good morning, Alana.
Good morning, good morning.
Now, we've heard you on the weekends a little bit, haven't we?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Playing some music.
Yeah.
Right, what's your story, Alana? What can you tell us in 30 seconds?
Nothing interesting.
Right.
I'm here to push buttons. Good morning.
Okay, that's it. Right.
And from Wollongong.
Yeah.
Oh, from Wollongong.
Yes.
Yeah, we moved over about 3 months ago.
So international as well, we're going
that's
here.
Right.
Steel
City.
I'm and
still
her hubby's super what? Smart, Dits.
Yeah, now, what does he do again?
He's an analyst for an aerospace and defence program.
Oh, bullshit.
But
you made
don't,
that up.
No, I really, I'm
Speak
really not.
Speak slow, will you?
Don't ask me what he does, though, because I don't actually understand
you can't
it.
Even
didn't
fit that
play, Didn't he play sport? Didn't he play footy or squash?
You can't fit that on a business card. What is it again?
An analyst for an aerospace and defence program.
Who boxes?
Bloody hell. And he boxes as well.
So don't pick on him.
I reckon he's lied to you. He doesn't do that at all. And you fell for it.
I reckon he's doing something really basic, yeah.
He's a bloody toolmaker.
He's a toolmaker.
Oh, God. Hey, what's coming up today, Roo?
We are going to have a chat to Jimmy Barnes today. Massive new book that's come out, and he's got a new show coming out as well. We're going to do it over two segments at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock today.
All right.
Jimmy Barnes, who we always love talking to, he's always got some great stories. He was on the Sunday night program on Channel 7 last week, and some really, really confronting stories come out of that. We'll hit him up about those. We've got the Angels coming on. We've got Gleeso coming in as well for another suburban song.
Oh, big, big show this morning. All thanks to Southern Volkswagen, Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Making news around the world, Roo. Now, this is very, very, very sad. I know you're going to be really cut up about this, but Fats Domino has passed away aged 89. What are you laughing at?
Who the hell is Fats Domino?
Roo, everyone listening that's my age knows Fats Domino. Sold 65 million records.
Wow.
65 million. Only second to Elvis Presley, believe it or not.
Bulldust.
There you go. So you laugh. That's how big this fella was.
Where did he live?
Louisiana. Louisiana. So they're saying he was the first real rock and roller. He was fat.
Right.
And he was a black blues singer, played the piano brilliantly.
Right.
But seriously, 65 million and only beaten by Elvis Presley. That's pretty big.
The King.
People like The King and also Paul McCartney say that he was the father of rock and roll with songs like this. What are you laughing at? This is disrespectful.
Enjoying it.
And then if you watch Happy Days...
More, has he got any more gold?
He had 40 number one hits, I think.
Just
somewhere between 30 and 40. Well, 65 million records. Not many people have sold that many.
No,
if you watched Happy Days as a kid, like I did, you heard this song a lot.
I found my thrill.
Hey, you know this song, don't you?
No, I don't.
You're not serious.
Blueberry.
You haven't heard this?
No, I hadn't.
You're kidding.
But I like it. I like the tune.
Paul McCartney. Now, Lennon and McCartney wrote unbelievable songs, right? Hundreds. And Paul McCartney even says he sort of modelled his style a bit on Fats Domino. So not to be sneezed at.
No,
not to be laughed at, Roo.
Any
like
more gold?
Oh, look, I won't go on because you're taking the mickey.
No,
no. No.
No, I'm not, dude. I just don't. I didn't have access to that sort of stuff back in Wakery.
In Wakery. Well, you missed out.
65 minutes. That's a good stat, though. Second to Elvis. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that in a million years. You could have made some money off me with that.
What else is making you?
Speaking of living to an old age or being old, dits, this is an interesting stat. 50% of Aussies now are likely to live to 100. If you're born now, right? 50%. Okay, so 70 is going to be the new 40, they think.
And 70, the new 40.
That's what they're saying. And you're going to have to do part-time work into your 80s.
Get out.
Yep. Okay, so get your head around doing a couple of days a week on Triple M and listing the Fats Domino in your 80s. All right. And in the United States, Canada, right now, if you're born, you'll live to 104, 50% going to 104. And in Japan, 107.
So they very healthy living in Japan. They eat raw fish and a lot of protein.
Yeah, so 50% of Aussies will live to 100 once you're born now.
You don't see too many fat Japanese, do you?
No. The wrestlers. Japanese?
Yeah, all right.
Got you on that
technicality.
One.
You got me on there, but the sumos.
Oh,
how many of them are there?
I don't know. They seem to be around a fair bit.
Mm. Apart from the sumo wrestlers.
Apart from the sumo wrestlers.
You don't see too many fat people.
No, but there you go. I'm going to hit 100, 50%.
Do you know, but it is a concern. We spoke about this the other day. Another topic came up. You can't have this many people living on planet Earth, can we? I mean, that's right. We were talking about cancer. There's a part of me that thinks cancer is just some sort of natural. It helps our attrition rate, really.
Probably does, but we'd prefer it.
Because if we all found cures to everything.
As long as we get it in our 80s or something.
If we all lived. Yeah, that's right.
Not in our 50s.
But if
or
we
40s,
all live until we're 110, 120, it should be very crowded.
Well, it will be. And that's what Dick Smith and those sort of guys are all worried about that, aren't they?
Yeah, overpopulation.
Yeah, it is. Now, we've got a butter shortage, Dit, as well.
I can't believe it's not butter.
I can't believe it's not butter.
What a work of art.
Very important that we spread the word this morning.
Come on, Dit.
Sorry.
You can't do that. What's happened with this butter
shortage?
They're
saying that more people are eating butter than margarine all of a sudden.
Because they're realising margarine's no good for you.
I don't know, but all of a sudden, bakeries in the lead up to Christmas, one thing's going to happen is that prices are going to go up because of a shortage.
What, so for pies, all the pastries, and
yeah,
stuff.
All your pastries. And the other thing is there'll be a shortage.
That'll really churn people up a bit, won't it?
Oh, God.
I'm only following through on what we've been instructed to do by a producer. Throw a few puns out about butter dits.
Right.
Have we got any others?
Don't try and justify what you're doing. Anyway, that's what's. No, but that'll
why
affect
is
all
it,
of us.
Why aren't the dairy farmers making money then? Well, I don't know if they are.
Well, they should jack their prices up too.
Yeah, it's not as easy as that when you're a primary producer because you get stuck in to where you got to sell it. But they're saying 140% dearer butter is at the moment. And they're using butter from overseas now to try and make our products.
Well, they should milk it a bit, shouldn't they?
They should milk it a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's take some calls on that. Does anyone out there know why butter prices have gone up? Or why are they going through the
roof? Or why is there a shortage?
Why is there a shortage?
Actually, if you're a baker out there.
Dairy farmers, are you starting to make a bit more money because of this, or are you still?
Actually, my cousin Paul this morning, he's out at the Fabulous Baker Boys out there at Paraka. Give me a ring, Paul. Tell me what's going on. Because
Spriggers, mate.
Yeah,
it
is. Spriggers, mate.
Yep.
Yeah. I just wonder, is there already a shortage? Are bakeries, because they've talked about bakeries in particular.
Yep, if you're a milk producer, if you're a baker.
133353. Yeah, what's going on?
Butter.
What's happening with butter? 133353.
Triple M.
623, Roo and Dit's here. Now there's a worldwide butter shortage. We're in Australia, sorry. And it's going to affect us, Roo.
Well, the prices are going through the roof.
Sausage rolls, pastries, all the things you buy at the bakery.
At lunch every day.
Yeah. What's going on? How's it going to affect us?
Let's get one of the best bakers in Adelaide on. Tony from O'Connell Street Bakery joins us now. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, Roo. How are you, mate?
You're putting the price of pasties up, are you?
Not yet. We'll ride it for a while. Just see, hopefully it comes back down again.
But you have really noticed it already, have you, Tony?
Yeah, even with things like cream. Our cream has gone up 50%, which is we go through a hell of a lot of cream. So it's anything like that sort of related with the fats of the milks and stuff like that within butter and everything.
Why have we got a milk shortage, Tony? Do you know all about it? Have you dug into this?
Not really. I know the Milky came in and saw me the other day and said, oh, there's nothing I can do, nothing I can do. And so it's only just basically, it seems to only be going on for 4 weeks, I reckon.
Right.
But it's, yeah, just one, another one of those things you got to battle with.
Another cost.
But I don't think it's not a milk shortage, is it? Is it?
Well,
it's
just starts from.
I don't think it's.
Doesn't it start from full cream milk or not? No.
Oh, I don't know.
How do we make butter?
The cream comes off the top of the milk when you get the milk, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. And they whip it up and whip it up. I guess I know when I've left the cream on too long, it turns into butter.
There you go.
Yeah, they separate it.
Hey, have you moved your bloody bakery, Tony? I tried to call in there for lunch the other day and you weren't there.
Oh, that was nearly 2 years ago now.
You're breaking news, Ruth. Yeah.
Breaking news. You're on it.
So where are you now, Tony?
We're off at the Warlake Hotel next to the Pink Sea Flowers and the TAB. So we're in the P section of the North Adelaide. We've got the pies. There's the pedals next door. There's the punt. There's the petrol across the road and there's the pints across the road.
If you're next to the TAB, I'm amazed Rue hasn't found you.
Yeah, well, I'm amazed Ditz hadn't found you next to the Royal Oak. You would have done some of your best work there, Ditz, surely.
That's right. I'll head down there tonight to celebrate Fats Domino passing away. All right. Hey, good on you, Tony. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, guys.
Good on you, mate. There you go. Well, if it's, as I say, if it's not a milk shortage, then I would have thought our dairies could provide more milk and actually make a killing out of
it. If only someone knew what we're talking about here, that'd be handy.
Yeah.
This is really good radio at the moment.
Haven't researched this too well, have we?
Hey, we've got a caller coming in. Maybe they know. We won't take that risk, though. We'll find out exactly what's going on here, Ditz.
All right, 6:25, Ruined It's on Triple M. I'm rocking the
suburbs. Triple M suburban songs. Friday night, I'm highly off my mind. With Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets.
Oh, yes, Ru, Gleeso's back. He does this this time every Thursday morning. How are you, big fella?
I'm very well, thanks, boys.
Did you clean him up last night,
Gleeso? We're still in the practising stage at the moment.
Practising? How long does pre-season go for an eight ball?
Pre-season's pretty long, actually.
Does it go all winter or not?
What happened is we got knocked out about 6 weeks ago now, so we pretty well buckled down and got into it. Yeah. The Tuesday after.
Yeah, no triple A, no eight-ball trip or anything like that.
You don't get a triple A. You don't have Mad Monday unless you actually win the chocolate. So.
Well, that's what the good culture's all about up at the Scenic, isn't it?
That's
right. Yeah. Right, let's get into our song now. Where are we heading to this week, Lisa?
We are going to Norwood.
I love having a crack at Norwood.
The much maligned Norwood.
Yes. Oh,
I love it. That's my hang. When I come down from the hills, I go to Norwood.
You wander down the parade?
Absolutely. I go to Orb to get my hair done.
Oh, you don't.
I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've been friends with Ida for years, my friends. But
what do they charge you there for a hairdo?
Oh, well, I just do a bit of PR work.
Right now.
I just did a bit of PR.
You're using us as a vehicle to get free haircuts.
Contra hair.
Bloody hell.
I do contra hair, not you.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, that's our domain.
Have you got Italian in your glue?
I know some Italians.
Okay, right.
So what they pointed out
I thought that was a girl's hairdressing salon.
No, it's unisex. There's no such thing as girls and boys anymore.
Isn't really?
Haven't
barber?
You heard? It's just all straight down the guts. Everyone's on equal footing. No pink, no blue. Now, they say about the people from Norwood that they're big on wearing active wear everywhere.
And
I'm all for it. Taking selfies, there's a lot of that.
Some of the Argos today.
Yeah, Argos, obviously, drinking coffee there. And wanting to date boys from Pembroke. So we're obviously talking about the younger generation. People from Norwood.
The young girls in Norwood.
That's why we picked this song.
What song is it?
Remember Barbie Girl by Aqua?
Oh, get out.
Hello, Barbie, let's go party.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they made me.
I've been made to do it.
All right.
You've had a bit of a thing for singing songs lately.
Having a crack at Norwood.
I'm a Norwood girl in a Norwood world. Fashion classic, it's fantastic. I love active wear, I wear it everywhere. Concentration, makeup application.
Come on, Barbie, Argo coffee.
I'm a Norwood girl in a Norwood world. Fashion classic, it's fantastic. I love active wear, I wear it everywhere.
I'm a blonde Norwood girl in a weird cheery skirt. I dress up, wear it tight for the selfies. Smoothie bowls and squad goals, see my glamorous kicks. Lorna Jane drinking kale, Lululemon. There's no rush, we should stay. Here they come, some Pembroke boys. I'm a Norwood girl in a Norwood world. Got daddy's plastic, it's fantastic. Job hunting ain't bad, I just go as dad. And now I intern at one of his law firms. Come on, Barbie, Argo Coffee. Ooh, 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 ooh. Come on, Barbie, Argo Coffee. I drink soy and green tea, wear my designer jeans. Hope to score with the boys from the Pembroke FC. Come with me, Mazda 3, let us cruise the parade. Or hit town, lose a pound, let's do lofty. When we greet, we kiss cheeks. We say hi like Norwood girls. I eat clean, I look flash, but I could smash a cheeky Nord. I'm a normal girl from a Norwood world. You are tragic, I'm fantastic. I will do my hair, my cat walks everywhere. I'm the Kardashian living west of Kensington.
Come on, Barbie, Argo Coffee.
That's the end of funny finish. Well done, Glacier.
Sam had just had enough.
Oh, yeah, you have to wear the put the hat over your own glasses on when you want once in the parade.
That's right. Well, I'll be going there for a haircut, obviously, tomorrow.
Yes. All right. Well done, Glacier. Now, you can check out the videos and the songs on the Triple M Facebook page, triplem.com.au. Go and have a crack, have a look at them there. And if you sign up to the Triple M Club, you can actually get to hear all of these before everyone else. Glacier, we'll see you next Thursday.
No worries, boys.
See you, Glacio.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruined Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Yes, first up, let's try and give away $1,000. We're heading to the Adelaide Hills.
G'day, Nick. How are you, buddy?
Good, mate. Yourself?
What are you up to today?
Just got to work site. Doing a bit of carpentry.
Oh.
Gee, that was close.
Do you realise how close you were to getting gong then? If you didn't say I'm doing a little bit of carpentry, would have had to hang up on you, Nick.
Why's that?
Because we don't like people who come on and just say I'm at work I'm going to work. You got to explain what you do.
Elaborate. But you did. You did in the end. You got there. What sort of carpentry are you doing, Nick?
First fix.
Explain what that means.
Like just doing the timber frames, all the external work, basically.
Oh, yep. For our house, is it?
Yeah.
Second fix?
Second fix is inside.
Right, putting up the walls and stuff.
Right, aye. Okay.
Yeah, all the cornices, architraves and stuff like
See, that. If you had said that, Nick, you would have just sailed through in flying colours.
What part of the Adelaide Hills are you from?
Mount Pleasant area.
Mount Pleasant. I like Mount Pleasant. That got a couple of pubs at Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Totnes and Toolunga.
Yep, good stuff. Righto, Nick. Right. In 30 seconds. Right. Now, tonight, Midnight Oil are playing in town. Name 10 Midnight Oil songs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm not a fan of them, eh?
Right. Oh, this is going well.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you don't know any?
Nah.
Oh, Jesus. Give us a bit of Beds Are Burning or US Forces.
Yeah, absolutely no idea.
Right. All right. And you know what, Roo?
Nah.
You know what the consolation prize is? Right. So that's a duck. I don't think we've ever had anyone get zero before.
Well, we've had one. But
well, you're joining an exclusive club there, Nick. Roo, we were going to give him tickets to go and see Midnight Oil tonight. Mm. Yeah. Funny about that.
You don't want those tickets, Nick, do you? You might be able to sell them.
Nah, I'll give them to someone else, mate.
Well, then you could come on tomorrow and give us 10 Midnight Oil songs, couldn't you?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to send you off to the movies, all right? Sorry about that, Nick.
Nah, you're all right, mate.
All right, stay on the line. We'll go send you off to see The Snowman.
The Snowman.
Yeah, all right. Terrifying bestseller by Joe Nesbo. Give me 10 songs, Roo.
Okay. I love Midnight Oil, but I don't know songs.
Short Memory, Wedding Cake Island. Diesel and Dust.
Yeah, yes.
What
Keep
else?
Going.
No, That'll do me. Midnight Oil are taking over Triple M today from 2 o'clock, right? We're going to play all their favourites. And also, if you leave the gig tonight, put Triple M on in your car, because after the concert, we'll play live Midnight Oil
Brilliant.
Songs.
That'll be huge tonight. People have been waiting for Midnight Oil to come to do a tour for
huge.
What, 20 years?
Yeah.
Longer?
Massive.
Probably longer.
Righto. Up next, very, very confronting and revealing, Barnsley. Jimmy Barnes right here on Triple M.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, it doesn't get any more exciting than this. The number one person on Triple M day in, day out is Barnsley, Jimmy Barnes. And he's touring. He'll be here in Adelaide in April. And in fact, to regional South Australia as well. And he's with us this morning to talk about working class. Man, Barnsley, welcome.
How are you guys?
Good, good.
Very well, Barnsley. Yeah, we watched you on Sunday night the other night, and it was great TV, but also it shocked me with one of the stories you said about when you were a young lad and your mum and dad were fighting and your dad knocked your mum out and you escaped and went over to a mate's place and your mate's brother had just got out of jail and he basically tried to assault you. And
it was full on.
I'll just play a grab for people who didn't hear it.
There was, you know, people in our house that shouldn't have been around children, you know. We were, you know, being abused and, you know, on all sorts of stuff in our house. And I remember I went and stayed with a family down the road with my mate, who was a friend from school. His brother tried to, you know, abuse us, you know, tried to shag me, basically. And I was, you know, 7 years old, and he'd just got out of jail. And the end, I remember fighting him off, climbing out the window in the middle of the night. And as I look back, he was shagging his own brother. It was horrendous, horrendous, sort of horrible place to be.
Barnsley, I was watching that with my wife. We've got all young kids the exact same age as you at that time. Can you still see that happening as if it was yesterday?
Absolutely. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, the reason, like I said at the start of that, the reason I was in that position was because it wasn't safe in our own house.
Yeah.
You know, we should have been safe in our own beds, you know, with our parents protecting us. And my parents were so caught up in their own crap, you know. They were, you know, fighting and drinking and God knows what else they were doing. But, you know, they weren't there for us. You know?
Do you know if that bloke, and this is probably a side thing and not that important, is that bloke still alive? Do you know where he ended up?
You know, I heard, because at one point, you know, of course, when you start talking about this, I remember when I first told my wife, she said, "Let's go visit him," and I wanted to kill him, you know. But I spoke to my brother, and he said he thought the guy was dead. But I tried to be philosophical and think, you know, let it go. But then I think, you know, this guy could be doing this to other people. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I haven't had the opportunity to really check, but I believe he's dead.
Jimmy, this might be a real, real hard one to talk about, but I know you're being very open and honest, and certainly in your books, you've been very, very open. But you talk about, I think it was 5 years ago, that you considered ending everything.
Yeah, well, it was funny. It wasn't like I sort of planned to commit suicide. You know, literally, I'd been sort of just chasing my tail, you know, like really on a bender for years without knowing what I was trying to escape and what I was trying to deal with. And at this 5 years ago, I was in Auckland, in a hotel in Auckland, and I finished the show, went back to the hotel. Jane was asleep, and I was just so wired and so out of it, and I couldn't sleep, and it was, you know, everything was bearing down on me. And I remember I grabbed everything from the minibar. I grabbed, you know, 2 bottles of vodka, 2 bottles of scotch, 2 bottles of bourbon, 2 bottles of gin, 2 bottles of brandy, sat them next to the bed, and just washed down sleeping tablets for a while, because I just wanted to sleep, and that's how I used to get sleep in those days. And I went to sleep, and I thought, you know, I'll be okay. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning. I could hear Jane in the lounge room, and I went out. And Jane's always cheery, you know. Jane was there, and she's going, "Oh, you know, come on, dear, let's start fresh. You know, let's go for a walk and get some fresh air." I said, "Yeah, good idea." You know, so, you know, I went in to get dressed, and I was putting my pants on, and then I spotted this cord tied around the rail, in the room. And it was like, it was really like watching a bad movie. It suddenly all came back to me. It really, I remember dangling off the end of that cord with, you know, trying to hang myself. Yeah. And I wasn't sort of desperate and crying, and I was just going, maybe this would be easier. I remember thinking it, and that's where I got to. But unfortunately, it's not easy to, you know, to kill yourself. And I must have given in and went back to bed, and I went to sleep, and I didn't remember it till I actually seen that cord there.
Well, thank God for that. But
you know what, the thing I can tell you about it is I realized then after that, because that was a big wake up thing, it shook me up. But what I realized was, even though, you know, I always said I wasn't suicidal before that, I'd sort of been dangling on the end of that rope for 50 years. You know, I mean, I was a guy on television, in the public eye, drinking myself to death for 50 years.
Yeah. Amazing stuff there, Jimmy Barnes. We've got more Jimmy Barnes straight after 8 o'clock. Very honest with what's happened there and why he is the man he is. So we've got more Jimmy Barnes after 8.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined It's thanks to Southern Volkswagen. Let's get now to part two of our chat with Jimmy Barnes.
You're 61 now. You're healthier than ever. I think you got 13 or 14 grandkids, and you're loving life and loving spending time with them. Do you look back at, you know, from your teenage years up until, you know, that moment in Auckland, how much punishment has your body actually taken, and are you amazed it can still survive that?
Mate, it's a wonder I don't glow in the dark. It's just so full on. I mean, I don't know many people have gone harder, and it's not something that I say in bragging. For what it was, when I first left home as a 16, 17-year-old with Chisel, I remember running away from my past, and I thought, I just don't want to think about it again. Mm. You know, I don't want to think about my childhood. And after a little while, it was okay, but it got difficult. So then I started drinking more, and then that didn't cover it up. Then I drank more, and that covered up for a while, and then it would come back. And then I'd start taking drugs, and it got to a point where it was just consuming massive amounts of everything. And not only that, emotionally just beating myself up all the time. I constantly, you know, I had like 7 number one albums in a row. I was the biggest selling artist in this country. Thousands of people throwing themselves at your feet and all this sort of stuff. And I thought I was a piece of crap. I thought I was worth nothing. And that was, and I'd go home, I'd have all this sort of stuff going on. I'd go home and I'd look in the mirror and I'd think, oh, man, they're going to find out about you sooner or later. You're a loser. And I thought if I could run away from that, I wouldn't have to worry about it. But this is a problem that, you know, men have this problem. They don't talk to anybody. And it took me to that point of dangling on the end of a rope to start getting professional help.
So, therefore, having said all of that, do you look back at the career of yourself and Cole Chisel with great fondness? Has it been a great journey, or has it been an up and down terrible journey, or what's it been?
No, listen, the making music and playing live and making records has probably been one of the few things. You know, there's been things that brought me joy, and there's been things that have saved my life, and music's one of them. You know, obviously my family is the other, but that kept, even though as great as it was and as lucky as I was, it was kept getting undermined by these other issues that were you know, plaguing me. So I've had a really great life. I don't want to write these books and think that I'm bitching. You know, I've had a blessed life, and I've been luckier than most. But one of the things I point out, I reckon, with this book is, even when you seem to have everything in the world, there's stuff that's really tough if you don't deal with it.
Sure.
And there's a lot of men out there who have everything in the world who are doing it tough. And there's a lot of men out there who have nothing who are doing it tough. And this is a common problem. This is a human condition. Men need to talk. Men need to, men need to stand up. If you need to get help, you have to say, yeah, I need help. That's what a man does. A man doesn't sort of, I'll bite my lip and say, yeah, I'm tough, I don't need anybody to help me. Because that's what's killing men all over this country.
No, you're spot on. I think people are more open to do it these days than ever before. And that's a good thing for Australian,
we should encourage it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. What about you as a parent? I don't know if you want to go there, but you've famously got a beautiful family, and we see sometimes they join you on stage. You've spoken about your 13 grandchildren. What are you like, Jimmy Barnes, as a father, when your daughter or your son over the year says, "Dad, I'm going out on the grog tonight," or what do you think about taking drugs?
What are you doing that
drugs?
For? You don't need to drink that.
Hey, leave it here for me. No, listen, you know what? I was so lucky. My kids, you know, they've done their usual teenage things where they get out in a bender occasionally.
Yep.
But my kids, whether they've learnt from seeing me, they don't go out on benders. My kids, like,
you're scared
the last
off.
Thing they want to, they go, Jesus, I've seen Dad do this. I'm not doing that. They don't go out and take, you know, copious amounts of drugs and stuff. But they've been through that teenage time where, you know, I've had to go and rescue my daughter because she's thrown up, vomit in her hair when she was a kid. and she's going, I'll never do this again.
Yeah.
But my kids have seen me, and they, you know, the thing is the balance in our family. You know, they've seen me be as bad as I can be, and they've also have their mother there who's you know, a great role model as well.
Yeah.
So the things that we go through as a family are no different to what any other family go through.
That's
only
right.
It's just a bit more extreme, and it's a bit more in the public eye.
Well, Jimmy, as you know, everyone that listens to Triple M absolutely loves you. We play your music all the time. You know, Working Class Boy Roo won the best biography of 2016, and now we've got Working Class Man. This promises to be just as successful. The first one sold over 150,000 copies, a bestseller. Jimmy, you're going to be here in April telling these stories on stage and playing your great songs. And, mate, we look forward to it so much. And thanks for joining us.
They're doing these tours, and the songs become parts of the stories, and the stories are parts of the songs. So it's a really great way to get close to an audience. I'm really looking forward to coming back home and doing it.
Jimmy, before you go, what was it like singing at Holden's the other day on the last day? Was it emotional out there?
It was very emotional. I tell you, you know, I tried not to sort of think too much about it because I wouldn't be able to sing. But when I was doing Flame Trees, and most of the front row were standing there in tears, you know, and giving each other, you know, cuddles. This was the end of an era for them. This is that factory, love it or hate it, you know, fed a lot of families.
In it did.
For 70 years, you know, when I was there, sometimes that was the only thing that kept families going.
Yep.
And to have that dragged out from underneath them, I felt like there was a sense of betrayal in the room.
Yep.
Yeah. Jimmy, you are one of the greatest. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. All the best.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, 7:43. I can't wait for this segment. This is going to be fantastic because Alice the Wag had a shocker yesterday. How are you, Wag?
I'm better than yesterday.
Have you recovered?
Not really.
I thought you were going to throw up yesterday. You look pale.
I've never screamed so loud at work. I was horrified.
Right, tell us what happened. And everyone's been through this, I think, at some stage.
Yep. So we got an email on, like, the website of Triple M from this lovely guy.
Don't crawl to him now.
And he was saying that he's just had a really, really tough slog and his house burnt down. Mm. So they're living in temporary housing, and while they've been there, they've been broken into 3 separate times.
Wow.
And all his memorabilia has been stolen, and he was emailing us to see if there was anything, like, from Rue that we could get and get it signed again to replace it.
Right.
Right.
So then I've gone to forward it to our promotions department.
Is there anything else that he was struggling with or not? Was that it?
Oh, but he'd had a really rough trot, and it was from him and his wife, and it was just the most lovely email. I almost cried reading it.
Mm-hmm. Don't exaggerate.
And then I've gone to forward it to our promotions person, and I went to write, there are worse people off, because we often get emails from, you know, kids, people who are dying.
He's broken into 3 times, and his bloody house
burnt down.
And
I went to write, I know there's worse people off, but... like, let's just try and help this guy. It's not much that he's asking for. Like, let's see what we can do.
That's what you tried to do.
Yes. But I was in the middle of the show and I was really distracted and I actually just replied to the guy.
There are worse people off.
There are worse people off. And that's all it said.
That's so he's exactly said this beautiful what he does on story.
And I've written, oh, there are worse people off.
Just kick him right in the guts. What's his name?
No, I'm not saying that.
Just his first
no,
name.
No, you already hate
How do you
me.
Feel about kicking a bloke when he's down?
I've never wanted to cry so badly. I just lost it. You guys heard me scream through the soundproof
window. No, we did. We did.
It was a horrific feeling because he's just been through such a bad time and then he's just, there's worse people off.
How do you retrieve an email? How do you retrieve an email? How do you get it back? Can you actually do that, though? Can you retrieve something?
No, I don't think so.
Well, he got it, so no.
Wasn't he sick as well?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
It's
just really bad.
So how's this ended up? What's
happened? So then I didn't reply. I just was too awkward to think about it. And then he sent me a message last night going like, oh, yeah, I know that, Alice, but like I was just hoping you could help me out.
Well, I know there's worse people than him.
I know.
Oh, that would have been really hard.
And then
for
I nearly cried again. And so then I wrote back, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to, like, send that to you, obviously, because I was just trying to say that we want to help you and, like, we love you and thanks for listening.
Did he reply again?
And then I wrote, P.S. I'm actually a nice person.
Oh, don't try and cover your own bloody tracks. I bet you feel for him.
Oh, and then he replied, it's okay. So, Roo, can you sign some stuff for him, please?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. And then I'll just milk you for
In other words, Roo, can you please get Alice out
of the
pool?
Yeah,
I can do that. Now, Mel the Button Pusher has got a story for us as well, similar. What happened to you, Mel?
So, do we remember in the news, was it this year or last year? I can't even remember. Senator Bob Day from Family First.
Yes,
yes.
Had his dramas.
He had some problems, as we know. And he sent, when he was in quite big trouble or when the media was really hounding him about some of his business interests, he sent this very lit, big email covering his bum about, this is why I haven't done anything wrong. And he sent it to every media outlet in the country. And normally when you do that sort of thing, a media person does it for you and they blind carbon copy everyone in the email so you don't see 5,000 email addresses at the top of the email. But he did it himself, obviously in a bit of a flap, and that meant everyone who got the email saw everyone else's email. Everyone
Whoa,
from
that'd
two,
be handy.
It was a good little address book filler. So you knew everyone's email address, and I meant to forward this to Alice in case she needed it for you guys to talk about on the show. And I forwarded it to Alice and went, nice of this dickhead to show everyone's emails.
He's and just gone broke as well.
He just lost his family home. And, all of that.
And who did you send it to? Oh,
I sent it directly to Senator Bob Day. I didn't even realise at the time.
What is wrong with you women doing this? Shit. How don't you have a heart, you girls?
At least I didn't reply all, but just to him.
Imagine. You won't be getting a Christmas card from Bob.
And he wrote back to you, didn't he?
He wrote back to me that night.
Oh, what did Bob say?
And all he said was, sorry about
that. Talk about kick a bloke. Yeah. Kick a bloke when they're down.
I'm off Bob's Christmas card.
I don't know how you girls can do this.
I've got a favourite of Roo's, actually.
Yes.
We're calling the footy one day.
Oh, come on.
Come on, your old teammate.
Oh, no, don't go there, Dits.
He's living in Melbourne, isn't he, or not?
No, his family's from here. Don't
put me into it. You don't want me to go with that one?
You might as well. For radio.
It's done
halfway
now.
Oh,
I'm very embarrassed.
Do you want to tell the story?
No, you do it fantastic.
You know, after the game?
You do it quite often.
Producer says in our ear, we're going down to the Crows rooms and we're going to talk to Truck. We're going to talk to Ben Rutten.
Oh, Roo
goes, no, don't get him on. He's as boring as batshit. Next minute we hear.
Oh, no.
He was already on cans. He was already ready to go.
Biggles goes, Truck's here, Roo. And I went, oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, there are what I meant by that, there are some players who give a little bit more in interviews than others. Truck seemed to play it straight down the line a little bit, just the way he played his footy.
Now, I had something happen yesterday. Oh, sorry, day before. I was at a local pub, and I won't name the pub, but all of these blokes, they all listen.
You can say that, the what pub?
Oakbank pub. There you go.
There's like two to choose from in the hills.
All right.
Oh, come on.
Now, I don't know the lad concerned, but they were all talking about it, and it was funny, but two lads, imagine standing at the urinal.
Were you having a wee with these two?
No, I was in the bar. I got to hear about it afterwards.
All right.
So two lads are at the urinal. One of them, it's his birthday. I'm cringing thinking about this. And he says to the other lad.
And they're about, what, 20?
I don't know. But he says to the other lad in very, very graphic detail what he's going to do to his missus that night because it's his birthday. And I won't expand on it, but he gets very, very graphic.
Thought he was lining up at full forward.
He was lining up at full forward and all sorts of things were going to happen. And then the toilet flushed and his father-in-law walked out of the toilet. Can you imagine that?
Oh, no. What did father-in-law have to say?
I don't
know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Now, who's got the best story? 1-3-3-5-3. The email one seems to happen all the time, doesn't it? Or the text message on your phone. And as you push the button, you go, no.
You just can't catch it, can you?
Now, can you top those? 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call. Hey, we can send you off to see Midnight Oil tonight.
How good's that?
Ho-ho.
That sold out. This sold out in hours, this concert, ages ago.
Give us a ring. 1-3-3-5-3.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, mistakes you've made with sending text messages or emails. There are some crackers coming in.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Andrew's farm. G'day, Martin.
Hey, how you going, mate? All right?
What have you done?
I was out quoting a job for a first customer, and I took pictures of all the yard of the cleanup we were going to do, sent her an SMS. And actually copied in a picture I took of my wife's private.
What?
You sent a photo of your nude wife to a first-time customer?
Nah, just the bottom half.
Martin. Did you get the deal?
Yeah, I was lucky. So, but I've never been so frantic at trying to get in contact with someone.
So did you send it and realised you sent it accidentally, or did he ring you and say, mate, I got this photo of something I don't think you meant to send?
No, it was a she, and as soon as I sent it, I was looking at the photos, and it's like, what the F? Like, and I've just gone, why? My dad was there, and he's like, what's up? And I said, you believe what I've just done?
Well, Martin.
Yeah. Well done, Martin.
G'day, Jeff.
G'day, fellas. How you doing?
What have you done, Jeff?
Well, a few years back, it was a quiet day at work, and I was in an online Facebook game of Scrabble with a couple of workmates, and they were starting to roll me up a bit, and so I sent a message basically in no uncertain terms telling them where to go as part of the game. Trouble was, I was also in an online game with one of their mums who happened to be a Salvation Army officer who was the recipient of my message.
Oh, how did that go down?
I very quickly apologised to her and told her that her son was riling me up, and she could relate very, very well. So she was very forgiving.
Well done. They are very forgiving, the Salvos. They're always nice.
Let's go to Parra Hills. G'day, Trev.
G'day, guys. How you going, all right?
Tell us your story, Trev, please.
I was a salesperson at a certain store in LA about 17 years ago, and we used to have a counter in the middle that was open, and it was very quiet one Sunday morning, and me and my good mate, who was the line manager at the time, doing a blokey thing, and he decided to let off a massive fart. And at the same time, this old couple just come sneaking at the counter wanting service, and it was the funniest thing ever. And he turned around, and he had this look on his face, being the manager, and he said, "How can I help you?"
And they said, "You can open the window for a start."
Yeah, turn the air conditioning on quick. What did the oldie say, Trev? Did the oldie say anything, mate?
Oh, I was in stitches. I actually had to leave the counter, and me and because there was about four of us there, and we just left our line manager there. Because he was the manager, he had to deal with that sort of thing. So we just went, and we did not stop laughing for about, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Unfortunately, when you're old, you lose your sight and your hearing, but you don't lose your smell. Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Cara.
Hey, how you going?
What's happened to you, Cara?
Well, I was living in the UK. I just moved in with my new boyfriend, and I was Skype calling my mum and my auntie back home. And after the call, I realised that there'd been a sex toy sitting on my windowsill while I'd been Skyping them.
What sort? Describe it.
It was purple. It was pretty blatantly obvious.
Right.
Oh no. Have they ever said anything?
No. And hopefully they're not listening.
Well done, Cara.
What were you doing? Sunning it a little bit in the window or something? good spot to keep your sex toy in the window.
that's too good.
Yeah, good stuff. How you going, Mum? Looks like the daughter's doing well over there, Ditch. Who are we going to give the Midnight Oil tickets to?
It's a group one, Phil.
Well, Trev dropping that big fart. Aberfoyle Park, Cara with a sex toy would be hard to beat. Who do you reckon? Or the sending a photo of your wife's private bits to a new customer.
I can't pick it. Are we going with Cara?
I reckon we're going with Cara.
Good on you, Cara.
Good on you, Cara.
You're off to see Midnight Oil tonight. Brilliant stuff.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined its angels.
Oh, good morning, angels.
Good
Good morning, Ruined It.
Oh, we've got Mel the Button Pusher, who's in foal and doing very, very nicely. We've got Alice the Wag,
good morning,
who sends emails to people that she shouldn't. She had a bad, bad day yesterday.
That was a bad day.
Pushed the button
and
at the wrong time.
And breaks things.
And breaks things. Mm. And we got Batesy, who's shacked up with a war hero back from, where's he, Afghanistan or Iraq?
Iraq. Yep.
How's he going, all right?
Oh, he's getting there.
No, none of that. Quite seriously, hasn't got any of that post-war sort of stress type thing they get, post-traumatic.
No, he hasn't had too many issues. Very well.
Yep.
No, he's come back good, which
and
is
what,
nice.
And what does he do actually in
he's
the army?
He's a tank commander. Oh. So he's a sergeant as well. So, yeah.
Right.
Drives the tanks around.
Do you like him wearing his uniform?
Yes, I do.
Mm.
Oh, creepy.
Looks pretty smart, does he?
Stop him. Yeah.
Righto. First topic this morning, Angels.
Righto. Now, there's a bit of a craze going around, or craze or fashion, that you wear a suit or jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
And nice dress shoes, but with no socks.
Even pants rolled up, Roo.
Yeah.
You and I went to a wedding a fortnight ago with all of the younger lads, right? And didn't they? All of them wearing magnificent suits and things.
Mm-hmm.
No socks.
What's the go with
it
that?
It actually looks like they've had to leave somewhere in a hurry.
Looks uncomfortable.
They had to jump out of a window or something.
Surely it's smelly
clothes
a bit.
Under their arms.
What's the go with it? Why is this fashion?
Do we like this fashion or not? Alice the Wag.
No, I've got a new motto. If the boy is sockless, they're probably sackless.
Hey.
Do you like that?
What?
But no, that went down well.
No.
I'm glad I went that. No, there's these new socks. They're called sockets. Mm. And they cover your foot, but you can't see them. That's probably what they're wearing.
You can't even see them in your shoes, so they must be real low
riders.
Yeah,
like I've got them on now.
Mm.
See?
Yeah, girls have been wearing them for years.
So they cover just your balls of your feet.
That's fine.
Yeah, so I think if they've got them on, then it's fine, like because you've got a bit of hygiene and no sweat. But if you like aren't wearing socks at all, then you've got an issue.
But obviously they think it looks good.
Yeah, it's slimming on the ankle.
Slimming.
But when does a man need to be slimming in the ankle?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it at all. I think it's really weird.
Mm.
Like, I feel like as a woman, that's an area that you want to slim down or you want to have the perception that it's slim.
Yeah.
But for a man, like, I just think I've never looked at a guy and gone, God, he's got thin ankles.
Mm.
Like,
well,
never.
He's got fat ankles. Say that?
No. You don't ever look at a man's ankles.
Well, we don't look at a woman's ankles either. So what
don't
do you?
Yes, you do.
Would, Dits.
Do not.
You'd say she had
would
ankles.
So.
Other things to look at. Besides your ankles.
Oh.
Right, Mel the Button Pusher, men sockless.
No, I don't like any of that. I want my bloke, simple Aussie, who likes wearing socks and jocks and normal clothes and being masculine and normal.
While we're on socks, is it a turn on at all to have out there sort of socks on?
Looking at you, Rob.
I think if you have, like you're dressed really nice, you've got the suit on, and then you have a colourful sock, I think that does look cool.
Yep.
So I'm fine with a colourful sock.
No, I like socks that blend in with your suit colour.
So it have to be like black if you're wearing a black suit?
Yeah.
You're so old
gray,
school.
Something
yeah.
like that, yeah. Next topic, we're running late. I've received a letter this week. I can't say this girl's name because it'll embarrass her, I think, slightly, and you'll understand why.
Yep.
But her name starts with K, and she's written in. She's 20.
What suburb is she from?
Nailsworth.
Right.
She's 25 years of age, and at work, she's met a guy that's 50, right?
An old bugger.
And he's got two grown-up daughters, or daughters in their 20s.
Well, about the same age.
Yeah,
too.
So they've been going out for a couple of months, and her parents just will not entertain the thought.
What's he like,
at
this
all.
Bloke? Have you done any research?
No, all she's saying is she's deeply in love. You know, they're going well.
Okay.
Her mum and dad, she's had to break the news to her parents. They will not entertain the
and
thought.
And is he divorced, Dits?
Or doesn't say, but I presume he would
presume
be.
He would
he
be.
He'd have to be. No.
Not
they just
boss.
Work together. Oh. Mel,
okay.
How does this girl go about this? How does she either get her parents to come round or does she just not go out with the bloke? And you got to consider these things that when he's 75, she's 50 and all of that sort of stuff as well. How do you sit with this?
Different strokes for different folks. It doesn't feel right though.
Can we presume he's a good fella and...
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She loves him. So yeah. That's all that matters, isn't it?
If you're if you're really, really in love, then that's pretty much the only thing that's going to save you, isn't it? Because otherwise, forging ahead with a relationship where your parents don't like the person for whatever reason is so hard. You're so out on your own to do it. It's very lonely and it's a bit sad and you hurt that relationship in your life, which you're definitely going to have forever, for one that you might have forever.
Good point.
Mm.
Sensible, Mel.
I'm going to try.
Alice?
It shatters me when people lose their relationships with their parents or family because of... Like
partners.
Relationships and partners, yeah. So I would I think you at the start you'd listen to your parents, and but if it kind of you can't not be with him, then you'd sit the parents down and go, look, they're actually, I really love him, and hope that the parents loving you means that they understand that you love him.
He's going to have heaps in common with your dad.
Yeah, they're the same age.
Dad could just be a stubborn old bugger that does not believe in going out with older blokes. He could be wrong, couldn't he, your dad?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you tried to convince him of that.
Alice, you're 25, 26, yeah. So have you had any girlfriends go through this or not? Not really.
Not older men, but I've had girlfriends who, like, the parents don't like the partner and it does get really messy.
Yeah, it makes it hard.
It makes it really hard because you get stuck in this hard place and it's just so complicated. It's the worst situation. As a parent, I would almost just turn a blind eye and hope that you've raised them well enough to make their, like, own decisions that they agree with. Mm.
Batesy.
Yeah, I agree with Alice, but I can totally understand from the parents' point of view, because imagine your daughter's in her mid-30s and she's dating like a 60-odd-year-old man.
Mm.
Like, it's just, it's a bit gross, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, it happens a lot, though.
It does, because they're rich.
But I feel like when it's celebrities and they've got money, it's just a different thing. Like, they're in better nick. Than your average.
What, their wallet's in better nick.
They have access to plastic Ferrari's surgery.
Here's the true colours coming out.
Exactly.
It's all right if you're loaded, but if you're normal,
they've got them sick
if you're normal, but it's fine if you're loaded. Yeah. That's basically what.
It's a paraphrase.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's just that.
Just read between the lines.
Yep. Yeah. Move on, Ditz.
If you've got dough, you can be 90.
Yeah, that's right. And
look,
you're
at
not gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks Angels.
Thanks.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:38, ruined it for breakfast. Atop a 21 in Adelaide today, partly cloudy. Rue, reading the front page of the Tiser today, what's Twiggy on about?
Twiggy Forrest, who's the sixth most richest Australian, made all his money out of iron ore, or most of his money out of iron ore. You would have heard of Fortescue Metals. He wants to, he's challenging our politicians at the moment to lift the smoking age from 18 to 21.
Right.
Which would be a huge thing to do. He says that at the moment, 15,000 people lose their lives annually from smoking.
Mm.
But it also is a $20 billion drain on our economy every year from health-related issues that it brings along with us. So
$20 billion.
$20 billion a year. It is a drain on our economy. 15,000 lives lost annually.
That's a big number, 15,000 people.
It's absolutely huge.
When you think about it.
It actually says there's a $31 billion drain on the economy, but the federal government gets a heap back in taxes from when you go and buy a packet of cigarettes. They get $10 billion back in taxes a year. So they get $10 billion back, cost 30, so net 20, but the lives, 15,000 lives a year is a massive amount. I don't know if that's number one or number two behind what booze related stuff is, but it's a huge number. I guess it helps your cause of getting rid of a few older people, because it only bites when you're older, doesn't it, Ditz? So if you got rid of that, we'd have more oldies going around.
No, I'm not saying we should deliberately kill. You're making it sound like I want to bump people off. How can I find ways to get rid of our population? I'm not saying that.
No, but if we continually find ways of being healthier and living longer, then we are going to have more people
around. I'll be shifting in with you.
You'll be shifting in. Well, I don't mind that. Anyway, this would have some fun. But what do you think about getting rid of...
I snore a bit.
Yeah, you'd be in a separate bedroom. What about lifting cigarette age? Is this realistic? What do you think about it? Because from a health perspective, purely health, you'd say, well, makes sense.
If you're asking me, and this is, I know this will never happen, I'd get rid of cigarettes altogether. So you're talking about raising it from 18 to 21. That's a start.
All right, well, take your anti sort of cigarette head off and just think about it from a holistic point of view.
Well, it's got to be a good thing. But look, it's difficult when we always say to 18-year-olds, you're now adults, you're now paying tax.
And we're 40 and 50.
Oh,
and
by the way, but you can't smoke. I think it's difficult to be telling 18-year-olds
Well, they're allowed to vote, they're allowed to drink, they're allowed to drive.
And we want them to pay taxes all of a sudden.
Yep.
So I think you've got to be able to let them do what they like, really.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's hard to say you can't smoke, but you're allowed to drink.
Yeah.
And
you can drive a car and
from a statistical point of view, health, financial, all of that, it makes sense. But where do you start? Where do you stop?
Yeah, probably a bit unrealistic.
So you reckon he's fighting an uphill battle here, Twiggy?
I do a little bit. Sounds like a bit of a publicity stunt to me as well. He's making a big statement that the whole nation's going to pick up on. Rui, what about
$20 billion every single year going forward to spend on things in Australia? It'd be good fun, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would. Just an aside to this, we went to the States as a family. So I've got two sons at the time. This is a couple of years ago. My youngest boy was over 18. It was painful. We could not go into any bar or any restaurant we're sitting in or whatever. He's not allowed to drink. He's 21. And
so
we
can
just
go
thought,
into the restaurant, but he can't drink.
Yeah, but we couldn't go into any bars. You're actually not allowed in the bars.
You're not allowed.
It was so painful. It was ridiculous. And that made me realize, I thought, hang on, the lad's 18. You know, he's now an adult, and yet you've got this law that he's not allowed to have a drink. So we had to drink in our own room before we'd go out so that he could have a beer with us. You know, it's just, so when you look at it that way, it is a bit silly.
Yep.
Do you think?
Yeah, I'm just thinking on the run here. I think without repeating it, it makes sense, but it's sort of maybe a bit too restrictive.
133353, what do you think of this? Is Twiggy on the right track here? Should we raise the smoking age from 18 to 21? Give us a ring. 133353, Ruined It's at Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Let's take a call from Damo. Hello, Damo.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Damo. Where are you from, Damo?
Truro.
Rue drives through there just about, how many times do you reckon you've driven through Truro, Rue?
Oh, I did it 52 times in 1 year.
There you go. Righto, Damo, what do you think about this smoking situation?
Oh, it's a bit hokey, man. Look, you know, when I was 16, they changed the laws that you had to be 18, I think I was 17, but they changed the laws that you had to be 18 to buy cigarettes. I still bought my cigarettes, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's,
so you reckon you'll just go around it, even if it's illegal, you'll keep doing it?
Yeah, they're going to do it, man. Be it like buying them like the proper packets or buying that horrible chop rubbish.
Mm.
They're just going to buy smokes. If they want to smoke, they're going to smoke.
What's chop rubbish?
Oh, that's that ridiculous tobacco, the black market stuff.
Oh, right. Oh,
can you even get it in Truro, the black market stuff?
No, you've got to go elsewhere for that. But I have had a smoke of it, and it's hideous.
Right. Thanks for the heads up, anyway.
Yeah. No, I just like to point out that today is Turn Up to Work with a Hangover Thursday, so get on it.
Right. What happened last night, Damo?
This is the only day I haven't turned up with one.
Yeah. Too many beery pops, I'm telling you.
What's that?
Too many beery pops, it was evil.
Ditch didn't get the message about... Turn up with hangover day.
No, I have to check.
You're on the wrong email.
I didn't get the message. Let's go to Hindmarsh. Hello, Alan. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
G'day, Alan. What do you think about smoking?
Oh, look, I'm an ex-40 a day person myself. I managed to give it away. The thing I have most concern about is the governments of the day that have legalised this over the years.
Yep.
And they've got an issue now with regard to what it's costing them. But the reality of it is, it's costing human lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that can be done to help people that are solidly addicted, and I've got people in my family that are, we've been very lucky with our children. I'm not aware that any of them smoke, nor my grandchildren, which is fantastic.
Yep.
But we still need to help the people that are addicted, and putting the price up to extremes isn't the answer. They need medical help. And look, you know, quit smoking programs and all that sort of thing, they're fine for those that it works for. But there's a lot that it doesn't work for that are firmly addicted that just cannot break it, you know?
One of the parts that Twiggy spoke about is that most of the people are getting addicted at this early age. And if you're raised it, they might be past it at that point because, you know, you're out there trying a lot of stuff at 16, 17, 18, 19 when you're doing lots of things for the first time. So it does make a bit of sense.
Good on you, Alan. And I like hearing blokes say, I used to be 40 a day and I managed to give up.
Yep.
That's what we like to hear. And Haydo's going through that right now. We're trying to help him.
It's funny. We turn a blind eye a little bit to underage drinking at times with our kids and stuff, but we don't turn a blind eye to underage smoking, do we?
No. But smoking's got that stigma, Rue, though. You think of lung cancer and throat cancer and things like that. You probably worry if your kid's do get on the gaspers. Whereas drinking, when you say we turn a blind eye, a lot of it we do at home with our kids, I think.
Yeah.
You sort of control it a bit.
Yeah. But it can lead to the same sort of thing. But it's just an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, at the moment, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just seem to be hearing a lot of real positive stories about South Australia all of a sudden. You know, gloom and doom, it's been for 5 to 10 years, always bad stories. I know the power situation's still not great, but when you look at all of these job announcements, I'm starting to think, gee, South Australia's about to take off.
Well, unemployment's dropped down to 5.8, which is lower than what it was in 2002, for instance, but I don't know how Holden's is going to affect that and whether we've got that covered. But we have spoken about a few big mines that are coming online and, you know, up in Whyalla and things like that.
Now, the other thing that's happened is that you and I were looking at the TV, two days ago, and what was the story about housing prices?
They were trying to predict what's going to happen in the national market for housing and look pretty rosy for the next few years for South Australia. Now, it's rosy if you're in.
Yeah.
If you're not
get in now.
You better get in today.
Yeah. But it was comparing us to the other states. And normally we lag behind. But in fact, the predictions were that we may actually lead the way.
Yeah, certainly up the front end. I think in apartments and units, we're going to lead the way. And we're second, I think, for housing growth.
Yeah, right. Now, you and I can speculate all we like. Let's get an expert on,
exactly,
shall we? This is a bloke who I've drowned in red wine. I've tried everything to try and...
ruined his jacket.
I've tried to ruin his career. And, yeah, he just keeps fighting on. He's the owner of McGain Real Estate, Mike Dobbin. Good morning.
Boys, how are you?
Yeah,
good, Mike.
What are you noticing out there? Are we on the verge of something big?
Absolutely.
Great news.
We have a fraction on it.
No. And by the way, thanks for letting me come on after Barnsley. I'm sure people are going to be super interested in what I have to say. But, we haven't got a real sexy real estate thing going on here in Adelaide. Sydney's a sexy place and all that, and Melbourne. But they're bubbles burst, basically. But what we have got is we've got a really, really safe industry here.
Yep.
And investors like safe. You know, that's just what they love.
Mike, I think I saw that they were predicting the next 3 years for our market, for our housing market, to go up 7%. Was that per annum or over the period? Because Melbourne, when they were saying 10%, and Sydney was, in fact, going to be totally flat for a few years. Was that 7 per annum or per year?
No, unfortunately, it's not per annum. It is over the 3 years, which is only like 2% compound. But some places like Sydney, they will drop.
Yep.
And at the moment, even in the climate, we're just happy to sort of flatline at the moment.
Yep.
But Adelaide, like investors, we've got investor groups coming from Melbourne and from Brisbane actually flying over. I get an email every Monday from a Melbourne mob that want to buy our houses because they know that... Brisbane's a bit shaky.
Yep.
Sydney's gone. They're nervous about Perth, but Adelaide's a safe bet. So we've got these interstaters buying our stuff.
Fantastic.
And, I was even more interested to see that our apartments or units were going to lead the nation as well. Is that because we haven't built as many as other states?
Partly that. Also, the city's really attracting people in now, and all the, you know, all the young Y-geners, et cetera. They love those little laneways and sitting on the beers like this does, you know, just enjoying the lifestyle. You know, all the stuff's going on in the city now. It's really attracting people there. I sold a house in Woolcroft about a month ago, and they're an older couple, but they're moving into a brand new apartment in the city because they just want to enjoy, you know, walking around and sipping on wines, etc.
And not have to drive around to go to the coffee shop.
Correct.
Mm. What about what we used to hear about all of the Chinese influence and all of those big overseas buyers coming in? Is that still happening?
Yep, still happening, and it's probably happening a little bit more.
Okay,
because they've had restrictions interstate, haven't they?
Yes, and they've got restrictions here, but that doesn't stop. The Chinese are pretty active in anything they think is of value, and they are rating South Australia at the moment.
All right. Now, Mike, you tend to sell a lot in the southern suburbs, and a lot of that is beachfront. You know the real expensive properties along the nice coastal suburbs. Who's buying those? Is that the international buyers, or is it still a bit of local? Is it interstate?
Nah. It's probably still local who really appreciate, you know, what you get down there. It's not really the interstaters that much. It still is local. And because it's so affordable. I mean, where I sell a lot, like Aldinga Beach through, you know, Brighton through that way.
Yep.
Point Nalunga and Seaford. You can pick up an Esplanade property, a beautiful one, for not even up to a mil.
Mm.
And, you know, where do you get that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, interstate, they'd be 3-4 million, wouldn't they?
Oh, and more probably.
Yeah. All right, good on you, Mike. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good positive story.
No, all good, boys. All good.
What's happening down at McGain Real Estate this weekend? You busy? Plenty of opens?
No, not working at all, actually. Going over for the Cox Plate.
See you there, Mike.
See, I told you. He's a clown, this bloke.
You got to delegate, Bits. You got to delegate.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There's 15 of us going as well, 15 sales guys. So there won't be any opens this weekend. Sorry for the general public. But, but we are investing some money on a bed search.
Winks.
We're going to get a 12%. Yeah, 12% we'll get on that. So that's not a bad return for a day. So just whacking it out of the trust account and just whacking it on there.
See, that's why you got to go to McGain Real Estate. Mm.
Slightly unconventional.
Yeah.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.